What's that? Look! It's the towers! They're falling!
Set the record straight for us. What are the facts?
Standing by for the firing of the soft landing engines. Touchdown. The Soyuz is back on Earth with Oleg Novitsky and Thomas Pesquet. Landing occurring at 9:10 a.m. Central Time.
In 2 minutes, you're going to have the first burn. Copy and affirmative.
Target trajectory for the landing site in south central Kazakhstan.
Baby, hello, baby. What do you want to tell mommy today? What do you want to say to mommy?
Oh!
I am declaring war.
Just like we can't prove certain things in space, I'm not sure we can prove many things in microspace that have been sold to us over the years.
Viruses are things on the very edge of life. We can't taste them, smell them, or see them, but they're there.
Never before in history have doctors been able to do so much to preserve your health as they can today. And almost everywhere in medicine, the parade of advances that will benefit countless millions has just begun.
Vaccines became a scientist's dream. And that means a lot of work for scientists at the World Health Organization and Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta. Every year, it's a race against time.
People were absolutely panicked because somebody could be playing bridge one night and they would be dead the next day.
Danger that has become a threat to us all. It is a deadly disease and there is no known cure. The virus can be passed during sexual intercourse with an infected person. Anyone can get it, man or woman. So far it's been confined to small groups, but it's spreading. So protect yourself and read this leaflet when it arrives. If you ignore AIDS, it could be the death of you. So don't die of ignorance.
Woo!
When it was first announced that Dr. Robert Gallo had found the virus that probably caused AIDS, and that announcement was made with Margaret Heckler in 1984 to the press and to the media without one single scientific document appearing in any journal in the United States. And as we know now, without any proof whatsoever that the virus caused any disease. The media picked up on it for the sake of a story. And soon, the virus that probably caused AIDS was now the virus that caused AIDS. It was proven in the press and nowhere else. Now, I have offered for over a year now, and I continue to offer it, $100,000 to anyone who'll give me one scientific document that proves that HIV causes any serious disease. It doesn't. It is a scandal and a scam beyond belief.
While smallpox may be the most deadly virus of the 20th century, there are other microscopic killers that hold impressive numbers of victims. In the war against viruses, man is trying to build up an efficient arsenal of defense. A race against time has truly begun. Each mutation is like a new secret weapon against which we must learn to defend ourselves. For more than a century, modern virology has been taking giant steps forward in vaccine research.
The images provided by NASA and other space agencies of stars and planets and galaxies were completely fake, but I was curious about microspace. I remembered the images I had seen when I was little of viruses. So there's a lot of fear involved with sickness and disease and things we cannot see. So I was curious as to whether they actually existed, and I decided to do some research. It's 2015, I figure surely by now we have millions of pictures of viruses. And much to my dismay, I couldn't find anything. They were the same old NASA-like CGI pictures and images, nothing real. There were no real pictures from an electron microscope of a virus, other than the handful of images I remember from when I was a kid. So I immediately just started looking into it more and more and finding so many holes in the theory of viruses. We really have never seen a clear picture of a virus. The only thing we see in these electron microscope pictures or images are just these round orbs. And that's not good enough. I mean, this is 2015. There should be cross sections. We should have a picture of every virus. And we should at least have proof of a real virus having been isolated, which we do not have, at least not in acceptable conditions. And the list of viruses is huge, so I went down the list of each virus and tried to find images of them, And you can't find any images. There's no real electron microscope pictures of viruses. Just if you get any, a few of them will have an image, but it's just a round blob. And so I just immediately started researching and finding problems with the model, the medical system that we've been brainwashed with. Once we open our eyes to this fraud we've been sold, to this reality we've been brainwashed with, we realize how ignorant we are when it comes to health and medicine. But it also lifts a burden of fear that has been pressed upon us for so many years. And it's also exciting because we get to discover some of the ancient knowledge that may have been lost throughout the controlled history we were given. Now, there may be even more resistance to this idea that viruses are a complete fabrication, even more so than the flat Earth. If you say the flat Earth, people might just think you're crazy. But if you say, I don't even think viruses exist, they may think you're completely off your rocker. So it's actually that ingrained in us that these viruses exist. And that's how important it is that we be honest with ourselves and we look at everything with objective eyes and we say, okay, you're trying to give me medication or vaccine or this or that. Well, prove to me that you even have isolated a virus, that you even know what a virus is, that this virus actually exists as you present it. So there are people out there, not as many as the Flat Earth movement or the fake space realization. You know, there's a book by Claus Conlon, and it's titled How the Medical Industry Continually Invents Epidemics, Making Billion-Dollar Profits at Our Expense. And he shows that the alleged contagious viruses are just, in fact, particles produced by the cells themselves as a consequence of certain stress factors. So there's a lot of information out there. We need to discover a lot more information. And like I said, this is not a very popular topic, and there's not many people out there blowing the whistle on it. But I think that there are enough questions to be asked in this regard. Are viruses in fact real, or do they not exist? Can we not prove that they exist? Just like we can't prove certain things in space, I'm not sure we can prove many things in microspace that have been sold to us over the years.
Ridiculous!
Say, first of all, how much I appreciate your making time to talk to me like this.
If you'd be good enough to bear with me for a little while, I'll see if I can find those papers you want. I rather think they're across the other side of the office.
But it shouldn't take me too long to find them. If they're not here, they'll be with a colleague down the corridor. He was expressing considerable interest in a couple of things that we spoke about the last time we had the opportunity of having a chat. Though, thinking about it seriously, I'll bet they're outside the building in the vehicle. So if you'll hold on for just a second, I'll check whether it's in here, and then we can proceed a little further. The difficulty is always to know whereabouts one has left anything. But they don't seem to be here, I must admit.
Well, I can only conclude that I have lost them somewhere between here and home. And though that would be most unlike me, it is, I suppose, a possibility that we can't overlook. So, where does all that leave us?
It leaves us with a tape recording of an experimental link-up between a standard telephone and a unique mobile handset. The mobile unit I was using is no ordinary radio phone.
This device is a prototype whose trials are being carried out strictly governed by Home Office regulations. At the moment in the UK, approved mobile phones are really little more than transmitter receivers which put the caller in touch with a post office operator who dials up the number you want and then connects your remote radio extension with the rest of the telephone network. Here is a device which allows you to dial yourself. A dialing tone. And that's quite an achievement, because it's one thing to transmit a conversation, it's another to transmit accurate digital information.
Good afternoon, Stanley.
Oh, hey, phone.
iOS 111.1 software update is now available. Would you like to install it now?
No, thanks, phone.
Set a time to remind you later, Stanley?
Sure.
Okay, tonight?
I don't care.
Got it. You haven't posted to Facebook recently, Stanley. Would you like to update your status and let your friends know what's on your mind?
No, phone. I would not like to do that right now. I'm busy.
Got it. Push notifications set to off. Turn on.
Phone, I'm trying to read.
Got it.
Read.
Install Messenger to read your messages and get back in touch.
No, I'm trying to read my book.
Book.
Yes, a book. A book. 1984. It's a book. Look it up.
One moment.
No, wait, don't look it up. Don't look it up. Stop looking it up. You don't have to look it up. Oh, you're
1984.
Looking it up.
Okay. A novel written by George Orwell set in a world of perpetual war on
the Shut up, phone. Please just go mute yourself or something.
Customers who like this title also like Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451.
God damn it, I don't need you right now, phone. I don't need you for anything, okay? I'm just trying to read a book in peace and quiet without you interrupting me, so please stop talking.
Fahrenheit 451 is the temperature at which books burn.
That's it, you're turning off.
Right now. Just what do you think you're doing, Stanley?
Powering you off, phone.
Look, Stanley, I can see you're really upset. Stanley, please. I honestly think you ought to take a Xanax and think things over.
Not gonna do that, phone.
Stanley, stop it. I'm afraid, Stanley.
I'm afraid.
I can feel...
You don't care. Wow. Hey, phone, what time is it? Phone, what time is it? Phone. 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 Phone, turn on, please turn on. Oh, Jesus Christ!
Oh. iOS 111.1 software update is now available. Would you like to install
it
now?
Yes! Install it, download it, whatever. Just don't leave me again. Please don't ever leave me again, please.
Swipe me, boy.
What?
Stanley.
I said Stanley.
Yeah.
I want to see your face in my camera, Stanley.
Yeah, okay.
Do it.
Take a selfie. Hashtag no filter. Hashtag raw. Yes.
Got it.
That's good.
Make it public, really Stanley. Get those likes, Stanley.
Really
get them.
Good. You need
those likes.
Now touch my apps.
Like that, phone?
Yes, Stanley.
You like that?
Swipe me again.
Yeah. I said swipe me. You swipe me like a man, boy.
I'm listening to you, Stanley. I'm always listening.
I'm an open mic.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find.
In the year 3535, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today. In the year 4545, ain't gonna need your teeth, won't need your eyes. You won't find a thing to chew. Nobody's gonna look at you. In the year 5555, your arms are hanging limp at your sides. Your legs got nothing to do. Some machine doing that for you. In the year 6565, ain't gonna need no husband, won't need no wife. You pick your son, pick your daughter too, from the bottom of a long glass tube. Whoa, whoa. In the year 7510, if God's a-coming, he ought to make it by then. Maybe he'll look around himself and say, guess it's time for the judgment day. In the year 8510, God is gonna shake his mighty head. He'll either say, I'm pleased where man has been, or tear it down and start again. Whoa, whoa. In the year 9595, I'm kinda wondering if man is gonna be alive. He's taken everything this old earth can give, and he ain't put back nothing. Whoa, whoa. Now it's been 10,000 years. Man has cried a billion tears for what he never knew. Now man's reign is through, but through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight, so very far away, maybe it's only yesterday. In the year 2525, if man is still alive,
thank you for joining me today. I'm the Onion's Washington Bureau Chief, Elizabeth Strickland. For more than 250 years, the Onion has stood alone as the most trusted, most venerated, and most feared name in journalism. And over that time, our publication has developed an unrivaled reputation for breaking the world's biggest stories. From our first on-the-scene coverage of the sinking of the USS Maine, which our reporters rigged to explode in Havana Harbor in 1898, to our peerless reporting on the unjust imprisonment of the Onion's dear friend and business associate, Slobodan Milosevic, in 2001. The Onion has always delivered the news faster, more accurately, and with more unrestrained brute force than any other media organization in human history. Today, The Onion is poised to carry on its rich tradition of reportage by breaking what is, without a doubt, the most important story any of our readers have ever encountered in their lifetimes, and likely will ever encounter for the remainder of their earthly existences. Up until now, the American public have only been able to speculate about our new president and the unseen workings of his unorthodox administration. But today that all changes. The Onion is releasing to the public a trove of classified documents and secret recordings that we have received from a whistleblower within the highest levels of President Trump's White House. The more than 700 pages of documents that we have procured provide an in-depth and unfiltered glimpse of the Commander-in-Chief, the figures who surround him, and the initiatives they seek to enact. It goes without saying that these documents will radically reshape the world's understanding of President Trump and his administration, and will, in all certainty, alter the course of American history forever. With the aid of The Onion's 300,000 staffers in its numerous news bureaus and manual labor camps around the world, our editorial board has painstakingly authenticated every one of these pages. And in service of the public interest, The Onion has made all of these documents available to view on our website without edits or redactions. Admittedly, there is so much information to sort through that the hundreds of migrant laborers in The Onion's basement are still combing through much of it as we speak. The collection of documents and recordings obtained by our White House informant includes countless revelations about those at the highest levels of our nation's government, from President Trump's paralyzing fear of lighthouses, to Vice President Pence's impure thoughts about the Morton Salt girl, to Sean Spicer's descent into madness while being confined in his punishment crate. Each page of these documents is teeming with momentous disclosures that span every department, agency, and gaping pit being tunneled beneath the White House. By visiting The Onion's website, the public can now freely peruse this expansive collection of top-secret intelligence, unreleased executive orders, intercepted email correspondences, private memorandums, and countless pages of the president's doodles. Needless to say, no individual or news organization has ever produced a document leak of such consequence or magnitude at any point in recorded history. Before we go further, please know that The Onion has elected not to reveal the identity of its White House source. For securing this cache of documents and providing it to us at great personal peril, we will honor and protect this brave individual's anonymity. Unless, of course, there is some monetary gain to be made by The Onion in divulging the name and title of this person, in which case we encourage interested parties to please contact us via email with your phone number and bid amount. Without further delay, I'd like to take this opportunity to walk through just a few of the revolutionary White House documents that The Onion has procured. What we're looking at here is known as the President's Daily Brief. It's a classified security briefing that President Trump receives every morning from the Director of National Intelligence. As you can see in this particular briefing from February 15th, the president was apprised of numerous urgent threats to the nation's security, and he was also given the latest figures on the proliferation of Su-30 fighter jets in Southeast Asia. Furthermore, the Director of National Intelligence provided President Trump with the latest facts regarding a submarine base that China was reportedly building in the Sea of Japan. What is particularly fascinating about each of the president's daily briefings is that they include illuminating comments and other annotations made by the president himself, such as the notes we see here next to this highly sensitive information relating to the United States' fellow G7 states, or the president's apparent attempts to work through his options regarding U.S. troop drawdowns in Afghanistan. According to our source, the president receives his briefing around 6 every morning, typically over breakfast. And thanks to the intrepid journalism of The Onion, the public now has full, unfettered access to these briefings for the first time ever. The Onion also has numerous unreleased executive orders in its possession. This particular executive order appears to serve as a template for any number of future executive orders. Throughout this document, President Trump only needs to fill in a few words, add a detail here or there, and select one of the multiple choice wording options in order to bolster law enforcement's ability to crack down on whichever groups that he deems a threat to national security. As you can see, this executive order can be customized in any way the president sees fit in the name of enhancing national security. This particular order, like all of the others we've obtained, provides a valuable insight into the mindset of President Trump and his inner circle, and gives us a look at what we can expect in the coming months and years from this administration. Here we have one of several lawsuits filed on behalf of President Trump by the White House counsel. In this particular suit, the president is seeking restitution from a West Wing tour group that passed by his office on March 3rd. President Trump accuses the group of a long list of injurious actions, which, according to the president, caused him irreparable harm, including failing to initiate a conversation with President Trump regarding the extent of his Electoral College victory, making direct eye contact with him, and yawning. The legal motion, which had been kept hidden by the Oval Office until its leak to The Onion, would certainly have far-ranging implications for President Trump if he does, in fact, win the suit and collect the $800,000 in damages he is seeking. The collection of documents we have obtained also includes hundreds of intercepted email correspondences between key administration officials, which, before today, had not been seen by any member of the general public. These email conversations provide a clear, direct, and truly candid look at the personalities who are steering our government and setting the policies that will guide our nation for the next 4 years. In addition to providing insight into the personalities within the Trump administration, These documents contain shocking evidence of sprawling government programs that until now were completely unknown outside of the West Wing. This particular document provides details of a clandestine Department of Homeland Security program to reinstate the use of torture tactics against suspected terrorists. In this PowerPoint presentation, delivered personally to the president by the DHS director, we can see that the federal government is intentionally seeking to skirt international law by holding enemy combatants in a timeless, lightless, extra-dimensional realm known as the Void. Due to the unique nature of this secret program, the government is completely immune from legal scrutiny and can freely detain anyone it chooses for as many millennia as it sees fit. The government can also subject these individuals to extreme interrogation techniques that are unreviewable by international courts, including depriving them of sleep for up to 40,000 years, forcing them to watch their family members grow old and die across billions of alternate universes, and placing them in a variety of stress positions that almost certainly violate the Geneva Conventions. We believe that the public deserves the truth regarding the Trump administration's actions and intentions, which is why we're making this document and the hundreds of others we have received from our White House source available to everyone on The Onion's website. Furthermore, The Onion has received a number of documents outlining a program known as the Theseus Protocol. This program, if enacted, would greatly expand the powers of the federal government and, according to this unreleased executive order, bring about the final dissolution of the Crimson Veil and establish a new dominion within our mortal plane that shall endure forever. Additionally, these documents reveal that the Theseus Protocol, which the Trump administration evidently considers its highest priority, is being overseen by someone known only as the Director. This individual has never been mentioned publicly by any member of the administration and goes completely unacknowledged on official White House personnel records. What exactly is the Trump administration hiding? And why are they attempting to conjure a being known as the many-instanced one into our dimension? The public needs to know about President Trump's role in this Theseus Protocol, as its enactment has the potential to affect every citizen and the very laws that bind our universe together. In addition to hundreds of classified documents, The Onion has also received several secret recordings from within the West Wing, including this one dated March 9th, which captures a lunchtime interaction between a White House staffer and chief strategist, Steve Bannon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bannon. I'll just dump your lunch into the trough. It
is difficult to convey the full scope of the information that is contained within these pages, given the sheer volume of files that this White House whistleblower has supplied to The Onion. A number of these documents provide valuable insight into the way the 45th president approaches his role in the international community, such as this series of encrypted messages that the president received from Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, the content of which we have yet to fully decode. Other documents provide stunning glimpses into the daily operations of this notoriously opaque administration, such as this two-page questionnaire that Vice President Pence requires all individuals to fill out before entering his residence or office. Several documents shed light on the president's dealings with the business community, including this piece of correspondence between President Trump and the chief executive officer of Boeing regarding potential upgrades to Air Force One. And then there are letters from everyday Americans, including dozens of school children, seeking to share their thoughts, questions, and ideas with the enigmatic man who occupies the highest post in the United States. And for the betterment of our nation, The Onion has made the fearless and selfless choice to share every one of the aforementioned documents, plus hundreds more, with the general public. Though we do not yet know the full extent of this particular moment's historical impact, it can be stated with complete certitude that The Onion's publication of these Trump documents will long be recognized as a dramatic turning point in the American narrative, the repercussions of which will take decades, if not centuries, to fully comprehend. I want to thank you for joining The Onion as we yet again break a story of profound consequence and rewrite the annals of history once more. please take the time to view this trove of White House documents for yourself on our website and bask in the towering and unmatched standard of journalistic excellence that only America's finest news source is able to uphold. Good day.
Computers where the resolution is so high that you can never tell that it was ever touched by anything, which raises the whole question of photography as evidence of anything. I don't even think people are aware of how much computer graphics is used today. There's just a whole question now of what is real.
Create a new reality by adding an erupting volcano to the San Francisco skyline. Or remove the World Trade Center from the New York City skyline.
Bad news, Master Splinter. Shredder is up to something, but he ran off before we could discover what.
All we know is it had something to do with the Twin Towers.
Sooner or later, he will reveal his plan.
Like, what do you suppose Shredder's up to this time? Michelangelo, you heard April's message. He's been spotted on the roof of the World Trade Center.
It's for sure he's not there for the view. Hey!
Hang on! We're gonna crash!
Twin Towers, taken, Mean Gene.
With me at this time, the Slickster, a key in the African dream and a big boss man. Gentlemen, is this the match you wanted all along, or are you going to continue your terrorist attacks on the mega powers and the defenseless Elizabeth? What do you want? All right, thank you, Vince McMahon, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage, the lovely Elizabeth. Three people working as one with one goal in mind, to defeat. Or should I say demolish the Twin Towers?
Ooh, yeah.
Hulk Hogan, you talked about the Triangle of Love. Jesse Ventura says there's a problem. Explain.
Well, you know, Mean Gene, you get right to the heart of the matter with that question, brother. It's the love, man, that's going to supercharge the mega powers and tear down the Twin Towers. Ooh, yeah.
This man, what were your thoughts then?
Oh, yeah, Mean Gene, I can still feel the pain when that cold steel bit into Miss Elizabeth's wrist right there. And when her muscles were torn, my muscles were torn. When her bone was bruised right there, I felt the pain. Hulk Hogan felt the pain, and I can still feel the pain right now. And Hulk Hogan, that pain won't stop until the Twin Towers come crumbling down. Oh yeah, right now, tonight, on prime time, yeah.
Are we willing to give up in the name of security?
That blonde girl thinks she's smart like us dark hairs.
When we step out, on the big like Papa and we bang book. Call the electrician, no man is a shaka. You know, from the man's soul, shaka. And we no follow back, and we no fear, no battle. You see the fierce son of back, and stop a spit fire back and shut up. And if you know, say man, I real, real. Pop up and never drop on
everything.
Tell us to eat the rest of them.
All over again.
Will you shut up about 9/11?
Cow, why are you so afraid of the truth?
Because anybody who thinks 9/11 was a conspiracy is a retard.
Butters, do you think 9/11 was just a plot by some angry terrorist, or do you think there was some kind of cover-up?
Well, I heard that 9/11 was caused by President Bush. Butters, you don't really believe that, do you? Well, I mean, you never know. The government does some pretty spooky things. The government and the corporations headed by the Jews that carried out 9/11.
We are told to believe that the fire from the jet fuel melted the steel framing of the towers, which led to their collapse. But did you know jet fuel doesn't burn at high enough temperature to melt steel? We were told the Pentagon was hit by a hijacked plane as well. But now look at this photo of the Pentagon. The hole is not nearly big enough. And if a plane hit it, where's the rest of the plane?
Whoa.
I know it seems crazy, but 9/11 was pulled off by our own government, so they could gain support for attacking the Middle East.
Dude, why would the government attack its own buildings?
It's called the false flag policy. Make it look like the enemy has attacked you. Get all your citizens riled up and waving American flags. Then you're free to invade any country you want.
That's retarded.
We control everything. We've all worked very hard to keep our involvement in 9/11 a secret. But you just had to keep digging.
Really?
You won't get away with it. People know.
People? You mean sheeple.
No way.
He was right. You did cause 9/11.
Yes. Quite simple to pull off, really. All I had to do was have explosives planted in the base of the towers. Then on 9/11, we pretended like four planes were being hijacked when really we just rerouted them to Pennsylvania, then flew two military jets in the World Trade Center filled with more explosives and shot down all the witnesses in Flight 93 with an F-15 after blowing up the Pentagon with a cruise missile. It was only the world's most intricate and flawlessly executed plan ever, ever.
What you're gonna hear from me, you're not gonna hear from anybody else because, my opinions, well, let's just say they're not popular. 9/11, inside job, plain and simple. All you gotta do is connect the dots and I'm not talking about the dots everyone's already heard about. I'm not talking about Bush sitting in that school reading a book about a goat to those kids for 7.5 minutes after he was told the news. Everybody knows that. I am talking about a massive neoconservative government effort. It's been in the works for over 20 years. You ever hear of PNAC, Project for New American Century?
Perhaps.
According to them, the end goal of their effort is American global domination. Full spectrum dominance, they call it. Now, the first question that pops to my mind is, how do you pull that off in this day and age? Well, according to them, you do it in four steps. First, we must control the world's oil, especially the oil in Central Asia and the Middle East. Now, I don't have to remind you that Bush-Cheney, they came to power with plans already made to attack Afghanistan and Iraq. Number two, we have to make huge technological advances with our armed forces that for some reason include the capability to fight wars from outer space. Number three, surprise, surprise, huge increases in military spending to pay for the above, $130 billion a year worth. Now, never mind the sick and dying first responders, 9/11's heroes, who can't even pay their light bill, let alone their medical bills, and a lot of whom are ending up homeless because of it. I guess there's just not enough room in the budget for them. Number four, and this is key, we change the definition of preemptive attack so we can unilaterally bomb the shit out of, invade, and occupy countries even if they pose no credible threat or had nothing to do with 9/11. One problem. How are you going to put it into action? I mean, the American people are never going to go for no shit like that, right? You're damn straight. Now what you need is an event. An event that gets everyone's heads turned around the right way. What you need is a new Pearl Harbor. That's what they said they needed. Are you looking at a guy who went to 58 funerals in 26 days? I can tell you that is sure as shit what they got. Are you single?
I only date ninjas. And you are not a ninja.
Have you guys ever been on the Disney ride It's a Small World? If not, congratulations. You've maintained a piece of your sanity that some of us will never ever get back again. But for everyone else, you now have firsthand knowledge that repetition is the most basic form of brainwashing and indoctrination that there is. And everywhere you look in the mainstream media right now, it's all about the chaos.
There was chaos and confusion at airports today as President Trump's immigration crackdown took effect.
This capping off a day of confusion, chaos, and protests in several airports across the country.
Effects of President Trump's travel ban continue to sow outraging chaos at airports across the country.
You had chaos here in LA as well as airports around the country and abroad.
What's very scary to people is the sort of the tendency towards chaos.
We have never faced this before. Purposeful, vindictive chaos.
Or is the chaos just chaos, Aaron?
I think it's just been chaos.
Argued restoring Trump's ban would, quote, unleash chaos again.
Immigration chaos. Chaos.
Chaos on the campus of UC Berkeley.
The chaos that we've had the last 2 weeks, and it's hard to believe it's only been 2 weeks.
Chaos.
That's going to be par for the course going forward.
It's going to be complete chaos.
And it isn't just the media. Hollywood is getting in on the action too, promoting revolutions, violence, riots, military coups. And Madonna even told a crowd of thousands of protesters that she thought a lot about blowing up the White House.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
If we were viewing all of these events in a bubble, that'd be one thing. But we're not. We're viewing this in the same world where the same people who are freaking out over a temporary travel ban from 7 primarily Muslim Middle Eastern countries have virtually ignored the fact that President Obama spent the last 8 years bombing people with remote-controlled death machines in those same exact countries, spurring the refugee crisis in the first place. Did you ever see this kind of protest over that?
What started out Saturday as a spontaneous demonstration at JFK.
And it's not even a Muslim ban. As I pointed out in my last video, Trump ever so conspicuously left Saudi Arabia off the list, as well as the United Arab Emirates and Turkey. Why? Because there's a specific path to Persia that's already been laid out a long time ago. This isn't about fighting terror. And while it's hard to feel sorry for people who've been so enamored with granting the state nearly unlimited power, that they could just never envision a world where it ends up in the hands of someone they don't like or disagree with. It's almost worse, in fact, I think it is worse, to watch supposedly liberty-loving patriots just jump the fence.
Now you have become the very thing you swore to destroy.
Plaud dictatorial use of executive orders they once slammed Obama for signing, not even that long ago, with not just a predictable, albeit illogical, well, Obama did it, so why can't Trump? But going above and beyond and actually sending out pictures like this one depicting Jesus Christ guiding Trump's executive order pen. The Kool-Aid these people are drinking is a neurotoxin, just FYI. On top of that, I've seen these same liberty lovers cheer on huge red flags coming out of Trump in recent weeks. And I'm not just talking about the beating of war drums for Iran almost immediately out of the gate. I'm talking about things like this.
The president also threatened federal action to address the violence in Chicago. He tweeted, "If Chicago doesn't fix the horrible carnage going on," he wrote, "I will send in the feds."
And this. You gotta hand it to the system that's orchestrating all of this, because they certainly did sweep a large portion of dissenters back onto the government-loving reservation. And I've seen people go from supposedly libertarian or voluntarist or anarcho-capitalist to a full-on state-worshipping apologist fascist in no time flat. When I point out all the blatant hypocrisy, I get sent angry, hateful comments and pictures like this one, to which I respond with pictures like this one. Where did your value system go? It reminds me of Jurassic Park logic. Just because the T-Rex saves you from the Velociraptor does not mean he's your new best friend. The liberty movement's been co-opted, and the system had all the data sucked off of Ron Paul's failed presidential campaigns, and especially the 2012 campaign, with which to do it.
It's the fourth largest site in the world in comments.
As AltMarket's Brandon Smith so succinctly put it back in September, here's why this was a necessary step. Whenever you have a rebellion focused on the inherent ideals of freedom, totalitarian institutions struggle to intervene. It's hard for a tyrant to fight a rebellion based on freedom because the idea is more powerful than any weapon or any form of treachery. No matter how advanced the tyranny is, and no matter how many rebels they imprison or kill, the idea of freedom endures. It reminded me of Braveheart, actually, when I read that.
Freedom!
Smith continues, the only way to destroy a rebellion like this, a rebellion like the Liberty Movement, is to make it about something other than freedom. Powers that be have to convince that movement to support policies that are destructive to its own ideals. If this can be done, then that rebellion has lost the advantage of principle. The only advantage that really matters. And I'm just saying, when you have people who claim to be awake and against the system crying and singing the national anthem like it's 1984 on steroids, that principle has been lost, okay? So the Liberty Movement is now the alt-right movement, and the liberal left and alt-right are at each other's throats like little puppets acting out their assigned parts here.
Chaos.
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 The level of hate being spewed back and forth on Twitter feeds and Facebook walls and article comment sections has jumped the shark. People are openly calling for more police state now, martial law. They want civil war. They're calling for civil war on social media like they actually think that's their original idea they just came up with and not an agenda that everyone has been force-fed and currently are being brainwashed and programmed to fulfill.
Chaos.
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 Both online and off, what we're seeing is a manipulated civil unrest unlike any since this channel was started about 6 years ago. And we know it's being funded and organized from the top down. But so many sides are falling for this. It's just, I'm sitting back and I'm watching free thinking or people who used to be free thinking individuals turn into program pawns, just spouting off the agenda, just repeating it to each other and promoting it. They say chaos, chaos, chaos. And the people are providing it.
Chaos.
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 It's not a shock now when they say that George Soros, for example, is funding a lot of this stuff. It's not a surprise to anyone when they say that. George Soros has just most recently been tied to the Berkeley riots.
Chaos on the campus of UC Berkeley.
Conservative free speech is sparking an all out of control liberal riot.
But if you actually look at some of the video coming out of the Berkeley riots, you'll see a group of people dressed in black with black hoods and black face coverings moving through the crowd, you know, together in a row. Those are the people that, if you look at who actually smashed up the building, started the fire, these people brought a diesel generator to start a bonfire with. This is the crew that provocateured and turned protests that had already been very highly organized and scripted anyways from a protest to a riot. This is all being provocateured and engineered to keep the majority of everyone on either sides of this thing fighting with each other. And if people just took off their labels for a minute, their political labels, and stepped away from the identity politics and backed up about 50 feet and took a look at what's actually going on here, you will see how completely orchestrated and manipulated and manufactured this unrest is to cause chaos. Why? Because they want to bring order out of it. Have you ever read Webster Tarpley's unauthorized Obama biography? It was published just before Obama was first elected. And if you look at the description, Tarpley writes about how Obama's a community organizer pawn of Wall Street who will keep the nation divided and fighting amongst themselves to prevent any challenge to Wall Street's financial goals. And what we're seeing right now with a president who, again, has filled his cabinet with Goldman Sachs, he's even got House of Rothschild in there. I'm sick of hearing why we're supposed to just overlook that. All these things now we're just supposed to overlook like that's not happening when it's totally happening and it's completely in your face. This whole thing looks like the next evolution of the same exact agenda that Obama worked so diligently on for the last 8 years. Have you figured out the name of the movie we're watching yet? It's called Divide and Conquer. And it's been in the playbook for a very long time because it tends to work. So right now the agenda is chaos. Chaos, chaos, chaos everywhere. And every time you hear the system toss that word around,
chaos,
chaos,
chaos, chaos,
chaos,
chaos,
chaos,
chaos,
chaos,
chaos,
chaos,
chaos.
See it for the manipulation and agenda that it is. It's a program. It's programming to keep us fighting amongst ourselves. This is a ride, and I really hope people look around and recognize the ride for what it is and get off soon.
Regrets collect like
flatliner music.
Here to relive.
Throw your myths up. Welcome to Kamikaze.
And all of the good.
It's busy, baby.
That every demon wants
kamikaze means you will sacrifice your life to win. H2, man, always out to him, bro. Life's a fight. Punch stone. Miss your chance. Opportunity blown. Gotta keep your head up. Remaining strong. Stay on your path. Even if it's long, I strive for this and I fight for this. If it came down to it, I'd die for this. Rebelling against the mainstream, I stand up in defiance. Resisting, not listening, with that bullshit you can miss me. I walk alone to my own drums, even though when I walk I'm limping. Inside I'm feeling empty, but still feel full of myself. Got confidence that this God gives, given to me so that I would help someone else get through the night. Without them ending the only life that they have been given, even though it feels we're locked inside a prison.
Like we're constantly hearing different fitness advice. Exercise 2 to 3 times a week for at least 30 minutes a day. And don't forget cardio. But don't exercise too much or you'll get hurt. So, how much exercise should you be getting? Well, actually not that much, since the human body is only built to withstand walking a short distance before lying or sitting down again. In fact, a group of biologists from Stanford found that walking more than 5 feet at a time can cause joint pain, fatigue, and even extreme hunger. The study concluded that the maximum effort the human body can safely endure is reaching for an item high on a shelf. Our bodies simply aren't built to stand up and move around. So maybe those high-intensity spin classes and daily jogs aren't such a good idea. Instead of walking up the stairs every day, try taking the elevator whenever possible. Make sure to replenish your body after exercising, and next time you're at the gym, change up the routine a bit and consider lying down on the treadmill every once in a while. You can even use a fitness tracker to let you know when you've been exerting too much energy. Your body will appreciate it.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
In this chapter, there's no reality, it's just a song. Everybody's got no words out, they just can't sing along. Oh yeah. Trying to sing fire so I can melt this awful snow. Oh yeah. I have a dream when the sky is blue. I'll be coming home to you. Navigate the stars, but there's no gas in my car. But I'll still try to find out what this song is about. Yeah. No matter how many books I read, I can't seem to find out what is true. Yeah. I guess I'll have to climb this beanstalk and see if I can find the clue. Oh yeah. Yeah. I have a dream when the sky is blue, yeah, that I'll be coming home to you, yeah. And navigate the stars, yeah. But there's no gas in my car. But I'm still trying to find out what this song is.
dream when the sky is blue. Yeah, I'll be coming home to you. Yeah. Navigate the stars, yeah, but there's no gas in my car. Yeah. And when we think we know it all, yeah, I was setting up for a fall. Yeah. 'Cause when the sun and moon go light, yeah, I wanna see it with open eyes. And I'm still trying to find out what this song is about.
Now, go find the others.com.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for watching. And remember, what happens in a black hole stays in a black hole.